Track 7, more news. Donations help make more accessible. More than £130 of public donations are to be used on making Dartmoor more accessible after a legal battle to allow wild camping was won earlier this year. The money was initially raised for legal fees, but successful outcomes means Dartmoor's National Park Authority, the DNPA, can claim 60 to 90% of those costs. The DNPA Chief Executive, Dr. Kevin Bishop, called it a second win for the park at the authority meeting last week, the first since the Supreme Court result at the end of May. The DPNA had launched a fundraising appeal after the costs involving in the three hearings were estimated at around £400,000. But judges unanimously rejected an appeal by the landowners, Alexander and Diana Darwell, in the Supreme Court in May, who said people should not be able to camp without permission from landowners. The legal battle began back in 2022 when the Darwells challenged the right to wild camp on their 4,000-acre estate near Cornwood on southern Dartmoor. The Court of Appeal overturned the High Court ruling on July 2023, restoring the right to wild camp, and the Darwells then appealed to the Supreme Court. The Dartmoor Preservation Association wanted to see a rights-based system, not a permission-based system, on Dartmoor, and said if the DPNA lost the appeal in court, it would cover whatever costs were up to the amount of the donated funds. Dr. Bishop called the result a significant and welcome win and said that the money raised by the public would now go into access and outreach projects in line with the wishes of the DPA. He said a meeting with the DPA this Thursday would determine how the money would be spent, but he anticipated that some would go on hiring an outreach ranger to work with disadvantaged young people and to support the Knights Under the Stars project, giving young carers the chance to stay on a Devon Dartmoor farm. "To me, this constitutes a second win," he said. "It's a second win for Dartmoor and for those who want to access the moor responsibly."
Checkmate. A tiny village in Teignbridge has distributed £9,500 to charities around Teignbridge as a result of its fundraising efforts. Ashcombe Village Club runs events throughout the year, including clay shooting, a village fete, the Ashcombe Olympics, and a horse and dog show. At last week's Ashcombe Village Club annual general meeting, held at Ashcombe Village Hall, the committee distributed the proceeds of its fundraising efforts between carefully chosen charities, farming funds and local groups ranging from Dementia UK to the local church. Reflecting the village's rural location, the biggest beneficiary this year was the Addington Fund, which received a cheque for £2,500. Originally set up to help farmers after swine flu and the foot and mouth outbreak. The fund, which held a charity breakfast at Ashcombe Village Hall in the spring, continues to help farmers in need. A cheque for £1,500 went to the village church, St Nectans, to help with ever-increasing maintenance costs. The Grade 1 listed church recently held a restoration morning to help look after the 766-year-old building. Dawlish Gardens Trust, which helps look after the churchyard and grounds as well as plants at the village hall, was given £1,000. Another £1,000 went to Yellow Wellies Farm Safety Charity in recognition of the help they gave to the local young farmers group after two of their members sadly passed away in a road traffic collision just before Christmas. Devonair Ambulance also received a donation of £1,000. For a little wooden hut in the middle of a tiny village with only 60 residents, we don't do too badly, commented Sarah Cartwright from the Village Club Committee.
Guitarist composes piece for TV show. A Tynmouth musician will star on national television this summer after being asked to compose a piece for a segment on Channel 4's 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Flamenco guitarist Adam Westcott was approached by the show's producers earlier this year via a direct message on his Instagram account, asking him to compose a 30-second piece of music to accompany a dancer for the show. I came up with a few ideas and they loved them all, Adam said. The producers worked with Adam to combine elements from a couple of his proposals, and the final piece is described by Adam as a really solid piece of pure flamenco music with a lot of rhythm and pulse. Adam, who performs on cruise ships, had to fly back from Singapore to record the show in Manchester at the end of March. After 2 days of travelling, Adam said, "I was a bit tired, but I wasn't going to let that stop me. It was a great experience." Born and raised in Tynmouth, Adam started playing the electric guitar after being inspired by artists such as Nirvana, Jeff Buckley, and local band Muse. However, a family holiday in Spain changed his musical direction. A guitarist walked in and just unleashed this flamenco, Adam recalled. Amazed by the right-hand technique, Adam went over to speak to him, and he kindly showed Adam some techniques. "I was still a beginner guitarist, but seeing that guy playing flamenco was the start of it all." When he returned from his holiday, Adam went straight down to Tynmouth Library, where he borrowed flamenco CDs and started playing the flamenco guitar. The 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown show featuring Adam will be likely to air in July.
800 homes bid for former police station site. Plans have been submitted to knock down Exeter's former police station and build more than 800 homes for university students and local people. It would see the demolition of the existing buildings replaced with mixed-use development, a purpose-built student accommodation and co-living spaces. Co-living normally refers to a development of small, affordable apartments with some shared facilities. The buildings to be knocked down also include the former Magistrates Court on the site. If passed by the City Council, the development would have 414 co-living units and 399 for students. The latest application is a revised and redesigned version of one previously rejected by the Council. It has more co-living and less student accommodation than the last one. Would-be developers say it addresses and resolves key concerns raised while the previous application was going through the council. Its overall impact has been reduced, they say, creating a high-quality development that better aligns with the character of the area. Instead of the previously proposed two large buildings, the new design features seven smaller ones, which are lower and take up less space. The blocks will now be between 4 and 6 stories high, with the tallest ones on the least sensitive parts of the site. The new plans include a new public route through the site, as well as measures to minimise disruption to the environment. More than 150 new trees will also be planted. An earlier application was refused in February 23 after nearly 3 years of wrangling, and although the would-be developers appealed, a planning inspector dismissed the case, saying that the buildings proposed at that time would have been overly assertive and incongruous.